Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Wendy Gillespie.
And I'm Janelle Davis. And today on the podcast, we've got Harmonia Mundi's 2012 reissue of Alfred Deller's recording of Lute Songs by John Dowland. This first came out in 1978. Alfred Deller was a pioneering countertenor, and this release was one of the last recordings he made before he died at the age of 65. Besides Alfred Deller, lutenist Robert Spencer and the Concert of Six also perform on this recording. Here's Spencer playing now.
I recognized that song. That was Can She Excuse My Wrongs of Dowland.
Yeah, and we'll hear the same tune again in a minute with Alfred Deller actually singing it.
Alfred Deller made the countertenor voice popular in the 20th century.
That's true, and we owe a lot to him for the development of the countertenor voice. When Deller first debuted as a countertenor in the 1940s, I think most people really didn't expect that voice to come out of that person. He was especially interested in early music by English composers like Dowland and Purcell. His interpretations, performances, and recordings of this music really blazed a trail for performers of early music who came after him.
Absolutely. I have a wonderful Alfred Deller story. Apparently, once after a concert in Italy, he was approached by an enthusiastic audience member who said, "Oh, Mr. Deller, you are absolutely unique," to which he immediately replied, "Madam, I think you mean unique."
An important distinction, perhaps.
So his children will tell you. One topic that we don't dare open up unless we want to be here all day is falsettists, as opposed to countertenors. But another to possibly consider is falsettists in pop music, because I think we all heard countertenors before we knew that we were hearing them, or at least falsettists. Pop singers certainly don't overthink this, and those of us of a certain age will remember Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Sly and the Family Stone. Wow, talk about early music and falsettists.
Earth to Wendy. Come back, Wendy. This is Harmony and not Soul Train.
Ooh, sorry.
Let's see. Well, I'm sure you've heard a lot of Alfred Deller, but who are some of your favorite countertenors performing this day and age? I'm thinking James Bowman, Philippe Jarowski, Michael Chance, David Daniels, Gerard Len.
Oh, yes.
And I really enjoy Yeston Davis.
I must admit to having been lucky enough to do a concert with Yeston Davis just last year, and he's a fantastic singer and a very intelligent human being and a very nice man. There was a wonderful gathering last summer in the UK of countertenors. You may know that Alfred Deller's son, Mark, who himself will be 75 years old next year, took over both the Deller Consort and the Stuhr Festival, which had its 50th anniversary last summer. For that event, which also celebrated the 100th anniversary of Alfred's birth, Mark Deller organized a concert featuring seven world-renowned countertenors, including Yeston Davis and several of the others you mentioned. And he also invited many others to come along and enjoy the event. It was a brilliant tribute to the influence of Alfred Deller. Oh, play us some of Alfred's singing, Janelle.
No!
Alfred Deller's voice is immediately recognizable. We just heard him singing that same piece we heard performed earlier on the lute by Robert Spencer, Can She Excuse My Wrongs? Dowland's first book was hugely successful during his lifetime, as seen by its subsequent reprinting of at least four times between the years of 1597 and 1613. That produced, I read somewhere, an estimated 6,000 individual copies for public consumption during Dowland's lifetime.
That is amazing.
It was printed in what is called a table book format. So when the book was placed on a table, the different parts faced in different directions so that people could sit around, gather around the table. They would have space to sing and play their instruments and could still see their parts. So it was a very efficient way of printing that music and performing it. Dowland tells us the songs can be performed just by one person who would accompany himself or herself on the lute, or by several voices or instruments. And the flexibility of the scoring really helped to sell the copies of this book, I would think.
I'll bet it did. I think a lot of Dowland's pieces exist in arrangements for instruments. Also, Thomas Morley's Book of Consort Lessons from 1599 would be an example. I think it's not really clear whether Dowland was directly involved in the setting or not, but this Morley arrangement is made for what used to be called a broken consort because all the component instruments are different from each other. On this recording, the consort of six, as it's called, performed this same piece, Can She Excuse My Wrongs, as it's found in Thomas Morley's Book of Consort Lessons.
That piece is still completely recognizable, even though we're hearing it without words and with a very special scoring.
The consort of six are performing on a group of instruments that's found in any number of English manuscripts. It's a sort of a band with a melody in the treble viol or violin and the lute, harmony in the flute or recorder, and the bass line then covered by the bass viol. It also has a rhythm section. Of three plucked instruments, the lute is doing double duty as both melody and harmony, along with the bandore and the cittern, which are both wire-strung, very special sorts of instruments. The cittern is a little one, and the bandore is a big sort of bass guitar kind of instrument. Perfect. This is a smooth transition. The chitarrone is none of your consort of six, but it is also a plucked instrument. It has a very, very long neck, terrible for travel on airplanes, as you can imagine.
I can imagine.
It is used as a solo instrument, though more frequently it's heard as a continuo instrument. It's wonderfully suited to accompanying a voice or being a part of a continuo band combined with other instruments such as harp, lirone, harpsichord, or organ. The chitarrone's name is one invented by the humanists who, of course, wanted to invoke the classical Greek kithara. Parenthetically, I remember hearing a story about the first time the chitarrone made its appearance in a concert in the UK way back in the 1960s. The player came out on stage, sat down, played his first dramatic chord on this very complicated, delicately constructed instrument, and the neck of the instrument gave way. The performer was then forced to leave the stage with a whole bunch of strings wrapped around his neck. The story might be a bit apocryphal, but I think it has a basis. In fact, it's a great story anyway, don't you think?
The attack of the chitarrone.
Yes. Anyway, I've brought a 2012 recording by Biss called Italian Virtuosi of the Chitarrone. The performer is Jacob Lindeberg, a player who emerged in the generation following the groundbreakers like Alfred Deller and Bob Spencer. Luckily, instrument builders have had time to explore the ins and outs of chitarrone building, so Jacob Lindeberg can make this recording of music for chitarrone from the late 16th and early 17th centuries. Listen to the opening, a piece by Giovanni Capsperger called, for obvious reasons, Arpeggiata. Grabs the attention, don't you think? Did you hear the performer breathing in this recording? I think it's an interesting indication of how closely mic'd the chitarrone is.
Yeah, I felt like I was in the same room with him. Is the chitarrone, is it a louder or a clearer instrument than the lute or the orbo? Or is it just used in a different way?
I think it's just different. It's gut strung. Certainly, and it has these outrigger strings where you have to pluck only the open strings. They don't stop on the neck, but they're very long string lengths, so it probably is closer to the sound of a harp than it is to the sound of a lute, interestingly.
I think that comes across in the recording. I did hear a different sound than I was expecting.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a very improvisatory style of composing and indeed, of playing. This sort of improvisation and preluding is, I think, always a good chance to check the tuning of the instrument as you're starting a recital and draw in your listener, get them used to the sound. The recording also has dances and variations on some of the Italian grounds, which are the equivalent of the time to sort of a 12-bar blues. Mm. Here's one. Admittedly, the pattern is only 8 bars, not 12, but it's called a Bergamesca.
I think I've heard one of those before.
I think that one appears fairly often.
Let's have a listen.
Some seriously low notes toward the end of that piece.
Yeah, how low can you go?
You can just imagine probably how long the neck on this thing must be to make those notes possible.
Yeah. No, it's just lovely recording, a lovely little piece. Can listen to something like that all day.
Yeah, it's really fun. You sort of can, maybe just me, maybe just because I know, but you can sort of tell that this guy grew up with rock and roll.
Yeah. He grooves, huh?
Oh,
he grooves.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and here's one of the more quirky tracks from this CD.
That was the Toccata Chromatica by Alessandro Piccini.
Also well-named, I think.
And lots of left and right-hand articulation where the...
Where the right hand doesn't actually pluck the strings, but the note sounds anyway because you smack down the fingers of the left hand. and it's sort of an interesting effect. It makes kind of a slur on a plucked instrument, which we don't really expect to hear.
Gosh, the picture of Jacob Lindberg and his chitarrone on the CD booklet and inside the CD booklet, you're just struck by the scale of that instrument. It's a big instrument.
It's an enormous thing, and look at all those strings. Oh, boy.
Wow. That's really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that brings this podcast to a graceful close. If you'd like to know more about these recordings, please visit our website, harmoniaearlymusic.org.
While you're there, you can browse our archive of blogs, podcasts, and shows, and visit our online shop, from which a portion of your purchase benefits Harmonia.
As always, we love to hear from you, our podcast listeners. Feel free to drop us a line in the comments section of our website or on our Facebook page, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Wendy Gillespie.
And I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.